1.49 at McDonald's gets you a mini Oreo McFlurry. 1.49 on a big night out gets you...
Sorry, no trainers.
McDonald's save a menu. Actually get your money's worth. From 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
You're listening to Peak to Pit, or watching. Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger, hanging out with you. This is the episode to preview the national championship game, our last college football hurrah for like 8 months. I'm already a little sad.
We're not sad. This is a rough year for both of us. Rough year.
I know, but I hate the off season.
5-7, 6-7. 7-5 for the big three. Like, nobody had a good year this year, right?
But life is better when college football is on than when it isn't.
My life's more busy when college football's on. I do know that. Yeah. I don't want to get canceled. So yeah, I'm sad that college football's over. I'm not really sad that bowl season's over though. Like, we've talked about this. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But all that said, I'm super excited for the national championship.
I am too. I'm really.
We'll talk about it here in just a minute. But like, you have plans. You're just gonna have a party at your house with like the six crazies that live there.
I mean, they gotta go to bed, right? Like, can I tell you my pet peeve about the national championship? Why is it on a Monday night? And doesn't it not start till 9?
Yeah, usually like 8:30, 9.
Are we doing? School night, work night. Like, why can this just not be on a Saturday night? It's just absurd. Like, I'm going to be drinking Celsius at 4 o'clock in the afternoon so that I can stay awake.
I'm going to be drinking, but it probably won't be Celsius.
Well, I'll drink bourbon later. I figured out about myself. I cannot go watch TV or football in my bedroom. The second
too dark.
I do that. No, I just like the second my body hits the sheets, I can no longer stay awake. I think it's because I just like am 90 miles an hour from the second my feet hit the floor to the second I get back in that bed. And I literally can't stay awake. So I'm going to have to watch the national championship on my couch because otherwise I will miss the national championship.
My couch TV is better than my, I'm with that. I might go watch it outside. It's been nice the last week or so.
Beautiful, yeah.
They have those different broadcasts, those different telecasts where like the coaches talk about it. Yeah, so I might. We'll see.
Yeah, so many options.
How many bourbons I have? Yeah, excited for it. Excited to see it. But then, season kind of sucks when it's over. But you're right. Like, the NFL has definitely figured out. Like, 6:30 on a Sunday is perfect, right?
Right.
Game's over by 10. 10:30 if it goes to overtime.
They usually premiere a new show after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to use those numbers that are already tuned in. Like, there's enough time for network television afterwards. This is like why college football is better than the NFL in so many ways. But this is the one way that I do not get how they do not have it figured out. I cannot watch a game that starts at 9 o'clock at night. I mean, I am going to watch a game that starts at 9 o'clock on Monday, but like, I don't want to. I want it to be 3 hours earlier, 2 hours earlier.
The other
7:30. I could do 7:30.
Or just on a Saturday.
I mean, a Saturday would be
just
perfect.
Do it on
but
Saturday. You but know, like you have honest, every game of the
Saturday,
every game of the
still
season.
Not a great time for me.
Yeah, you have every game of the season
on a
Saturday. Like the
college
reason we'll put it on
football is Saturdays. I don't get it. Plus, then you can have game day leading into it. Like, how anticlimactic is it that we don't have a game day episode?
Is there not a game day like 7 p.m.?
I'm sure there's an hour-long preview show that's the game day staff, but we don't have our Saturday morning wake up with the the intro and all of that. Like, I want a 3-hour game day Saturday morning. I want it all. I need the whole day. I do actually always watch, like, it's on the TV from the second we wake up until the game happens, all the pregame coverage. My children don't love that day, but the good news is the big girls will be at school, so and the little babies don't get an opinion. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a heck of a game. This is the game I wanted. I did not, for good reason. Well, let's talk about the playoff just a little bit. We hung out for the playoff on New Year's Eve. My bold prediction came true. Did you see that? I tagged you in the video. You didn't respond.
I did. I think I saw it. I just didn't care.
You just were mad that I was right. The Michigan Georgia game was a bigger blowout than the Alabama Cincinnati game. Yes. Not only in score, because it was really, really close, like it was like 23 and 21, but also like it felt like that. Like I felt like Cincinnati had a better chance.
So,
I mean, probably because that game was really, only like 10 at halftime or something.
Yeah. Like, I don't know that Alabama, I think that either team actually had any sort of legitimate shot once the game kicked off. Like there was never a point in a Cincinnati game where I was like, ooh, they might be coming back here. They like, I never had that feeling at all. I mean, but I think but that the Georgia game felt like a bigger blowout than the Cincinnati game.
And that's probably, so I do feel like, and this is really like splitting hairs, but I do feel like at the very beginning, like Cincinnati looked good. Like Alabama went down and scored, made it 7-0. And Cincinnati drove all the way down inside the 10, ended up getting stopped on a dropped touchdown and had to kick a field goal. And then on the very next drive, drove all the way down and then had a turnover. And so it's like first quarter, they looked pretty good. It was 7-3 at the end.
But we talked about that a little bit, how like there was a decent chance they might hang for a little bit. But at the end of the day, they're not going to have
Michigan. Right. And Michigan never hung. It was 21-0.
Michigan never hung.
So that's my only point.
I think there's a couple
closer early
factors to that too. I think this
one is SEC. One is SEC.
I mean, we can.
Oh, talk they're talking about Georgia, Michigan.
But one is SEC speed, absolutely. But that's not even what I was going to say. What I was going to say is Alabama has played up or down to their competition all season long, which is not normal of a Nick Saban team. Nick Saban wants to beat the, you know, Louisiana Monroe's just as badly as he wants to beat the LSU's generally. So this is not typical of a Nick Saban team, but they do seem to play just right to the level of their opponent. And I mean, obviously there was, this game was never really in jeopardy. So they did everything they needed to do, and it was a semi, final game. So it's really splitting hairs to even act like, you know, this isn't a great team or anything like that, but they play up or down to their competition, which I think is part of that. Georgia, on the other hand, I think really had something to prove. They were humiliated by Alabama. There are people that thought they shouldn't get to go there after losing their conference championship game, you know, a couple weeks before. So I really felt like they were on a mission, not just to win the game, but to actually prove something. But I do think, man, we play football differently down here. Yeah. I think that we thought Michigan was a great team. I thought going into that game that that would be a really close game because I thought Michigan was a legitimate team. I thought Georgia was going to win, but I thought that it was going to be the much better ball game of the two. I thought that it was going to be a defensive battle. I thought that Michigan was going to give Georgia, you know, almost all that they could handle. And they really didn't, not from the beginning.
The reason I thought Georgia would beat the heck out of Michigan is because I thought, and the reason I thought that Alabama would not struggle, but like not blow out Cincinnati, like we probably all thought they would. Like, what did we always say? If Cincinnati or one of these group of five schools ever goes up against Bama, they're losing by 50. And that just didn't happen. I lost by 21.
Losing by 21 in a playoff game is not some sort of accomplishment. Now, listen, though, they don't.
No, it's for Cincinnati, though.
They didn't put in any worse of a performance than anybody else has.
But here's, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're
semifinal games. I mean, they proved that they belong
The reason I thought that Georgia. Now, the reason you thought that the Georgia Michigan game would be closer. I'm going to put words in your mouth here. Sorry, you're going to hate me. You're going to disagree, but I'm just going to say it. The reason you thought that Georgia-Michigan would be closer and Alabama-Cincinnati would be just like not even thinking about being close was because I think you were thinking about that SEC championship. But then when you look at like the rest of the season, Georgia was far and above the better. Let me finish this one. Georgia was far and above the better team all year long. Georgia blew out Florida. Alabama played Florida close. Georgia blew out other SEC opponents. Alabama played them close. They let Tennessee hang around for half. They let they should have lost to Auburn. And so I don't think this Alabama team that we saw, like where else was Alabama impressive throughout the year other than the SEC championship? Lose to Texas A&M. And so I think that if you're looking at that one game, you'd think that Alabama was better. But one game, and Alabama may go out and win on Monday night. In fact, nobody's going to be shocked if Nick Saban pulls out a win. But Georgia was by and far the better team all year, without a doubt. Better defensively, more sharp on offense. Bryce Young definitely looked like he was off on Friday night. And fortunately, again, they were playing Cincinnati, so it wasn't a very big deal. Their defense held them to 6 points. But I think that Georgia was the better team all year long, except for in Atlanta, right? Except for when they should have been the better team.
So,
what do you think about that?
I think that that's not in any way why I thought the game was going to be closer.
But is it true, though?
No.
You don't think Georgia was a better team all year?
I think Alabama is a better team than Georgia.
That's what I'm asking. Was Alabama a better team all year outside of the SEC championship? Was Alabama more impressive to you with their losses and stuff and the way they played Auburn and the way they played Florida?
Loss, not losses.
Correct. So one more loss, common opponents.
They don't have one more loss. Each team has one loss. Georgia was undefeated
going
into
12,
that championship game.
For the first 12,
but they
that's
both
what I'm
have
asking
one
you.
Loss now. I think that it's really splitting hairs to say that an 11-1 team wasn't impressive this year. It's impressive.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's literally what you just said that they weren't that.
All I'm asking you, I need a yes or no. Yes or no on this one. I'll break it down real simple. I know it's tougher for SEC fans because you guys just can't agree. For the first 12 games of the year, exclude the SEC championship, where I'm saying Alabama was better than Georgia in the SEC championship. I don't know why that's not an argument. For the first 12 games of the year, was Georgia the better team?
I
don't know how you say no, but go ahead. But what I'd like to know is, were they the better team 12 games in? Yes, okay, no, or maybe?
Undecided. I think that when they play each other.
All right. So what do you think happens on Monday night?
It doesn't work in college football. The only time they play Alabama. You said how they did against common opponents. That is
common
opponent property.
Common opponents having another loss.
One
struggling
loss.
With Auburn.
And now they both have the same number of losses, but they
correct.
Won.
And we were good talking about the first 12.
Figure out how to win. But this is I will tell you.
So Georgia was less impressive than Alabama through the first 12 games.
No, I think they were both impressive.
But who was more impressive? Neither one. They were exactly the same.
Yes.
11-1 equals 12-0.
They were equal.
11-0 equals 12-0.
One plays in a harder division of the SEC.
Got it.
Okay. This is what I will tell you, though. The reason that I thought that Georgia and Michigan were going to be closer is because I thought Michigan's defense was better than Michigan's defense.
Well, that was dead wrong, like your last argument.
That was my problem there.
Well, that was
with Alabama, the reason I thought the Alabama-Cincinnati game would be the bigger blowout of the two. I mean, 21 points is still a blowout, but the bigger blowout of the two between Georgia's game and Alabama's game is the Jimmys and Joes. That was the difference in my mind.
So 0-2 on those.
I mean, I would say Jimmys and Joes probably made a difference in both games, but is it not more fair to think that Georgia and Michigan's rosters are more comparable than Alabama and Cincinnati's rosters are in terms of how they have recruited, who they
have
signed?
I'm undecided on that.
Okay.
I'm undecided on. No, I think that Alabama is a better team than Cincinnati is, without a doubt. And I think that the roster disparity is probably, I would say if you're looking at roster disparity,
there's a bigger disparity between Alabama and Cincinnati than between Georgia and Michigan, which is part of my decision-making process there.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yes.
When I look at how Georgia played all year in totality, I thought Georgia was the better team outside of Atlanta. I know you think that 11-1 and 12-0 are exactly the same, but I think that was my logic. Was that Georgia was better. I love the eye roll. I wish I could have caught it on a GIF or something. I thought that Georgia was better until they got to Atlanta.
Okay. Well,
Alabama gets a pass. I know that you hate everything out of Athens, but it is interesting that you you give Alabama a pass for playing down like to their opponents, but
this is the worst Alabama team we have seen in a decade. I've said that on this podcast a million times, but guess what? They're still going to beat Georgia for the national championship. I said they were going to beat him in the SEC championship. Everyone told me I was crazy. They beat Georgia soundly in the SEC championship game.
You win some, you lose some.
No,
because
Nick Saban is a better coach.
You, not Nick Saban. You win some and lose some.
Right. Well,
because
that's how this works.
Yeah. Because you said that they would win the SEC championship, but you'd also said that the playoff would be close in the one game. And you said the other one would be a bigger blowout. And so
I did. 21 and 23 points are both blowouts. Okay. So that doesn't make
you
wrong about Alabama and Cincinnati being a blowout. It was a blowout.
But you thought Georgia Michigan would be close.
I thought that
you hate Georgia.
I did. It's not because I hate Georgia. It's because definitely because you hate Michigan Georgia. Was more talented than they are. They're garbage. I totally forgot about the Big Ten, and I thought they had to up their game up, but they haven't.
I'm sure that when Georgia's back in the playoff next year, you definitely won't think that they're going to blow out their opponent. Like, you'll definitely pick whoever the opponent is just because you hate Athens. Do you think who would win between Cincinnati and Michigan in a consolation game?
Honestly, having watched those two games, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. And I do think it's important to say Cincinnati. This is going to be a really stupid statement about to come out of my mouth. Cincinnati showed that they at least belonged enough to get saved by Alabama.
Oh my goodness, you're backtracking on the whole thing.
They didn't lose any worse than anybody else has in the semifinals.
They lost better.
Is my place. They lost better than lots. I think the average is 24 points or something like that, which brings me to the topic of the playoffs in general, which I want to talk about for a second.
Wait, let's talk about the national championship first.
All right. Okay, fine.
I think that's really like all the people care about. And we just argued about whatever that was for however long. People are like cussing us out and stuff, whatever. What percent chance would you give Alabama winning this game?
Of Alabama winning this game?
60%. Okay, 60-40. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like is your final score? And what – so I have a take on this game. And it was interesting. We may have talked about what we were over the other day. But, like, what's your final score? Like, is this low scoring, high scoring?
I want to say it's, like, 28-24 or something like that. But I honestly think that there's a chance it's slightly larger margin in favor of Alabama. But
why do you think Vegas made Georgia a favorite in this game?
I don't know. I find that interesting. You know that Nick Saban was pumped when that happened because it definitely
– I don't buy into this motivation stuff as much as some people do. Like, I just think – I think Nick Saban just gets his team up.
Listen, having watched Urban Meyer in the locker room for 30 days before Florida played Ohio State when Eric was a senior on that team, I will never doubt outside motivating factors ever.
So, okay, back to the question. Why do you think – that they made Georgia a favorite? Is it because you think that they think Alabama's the better team?
Are you just asking stupid questions to ask?
I'm serious. Like, do you think, like, I mean, is it a little shocking that even though they lost to them by a large amount, that it seems like Vegas thinks that the edge goes to Georgia?
Vegas thought the edge went to Georgia in the SEC championship game as well.
And then they saw that and doubled down on it.
Right. It's weird.
Vegas isn't typically wrong too many times. But
no, but maybe they just want the money to balance out or something. I don't know.
Possibly. I think that in the SEC championship, I did not think that Georgia got after Bryce Young enough. I thought they sat back and just let him beat them. And I thought you saw that against Michigan, they kind of went all out on like attacking that kid. And not that they'll be able to do the same thing with Alabama's offensive line being much better, but I do think that they'll bring like more blitzes, try and get him pretty uncomfortable. You know, in the Georgia game, he threw the ball 44 times and had close to 100 QBR. In this game, he only threw the ball 28 times. And so they really limited what he was able to do. Now, the game was pretty different, but
are you talking about he only threw it 28 times in the Cincinnati game? Or are you in the Michigan quarterback? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that they need to take the ball out of his hands some.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what was that face for?
Dude, a video just started playing on my computer and it sounded like a gunshot. Like it was like an intro to an ESPN video that was about stats and stuff. Bro, I thought, I was like, oh my gosh. And it was one of those ones that like starts in one ear and goes to the other. I was like, did something just go through the house? Like what? Like it sounded like a grenade.
Oh my God, your face. That was hilarious.
I was gonna
die. All right.
I think they need to get after Bryce Young.
That's the key for them, right?
Auburn did a really, really good job of getting after him. And that's the other thing. Like there were times this year that, man, I'm never picking against Nick Saban, right? Like I understand that.
Right.
Line of thinking, right? Like, so I'll just say that so you won't jump down my throat about me saying this. But there were a lot of times this year that I thought Alabama looked pedestrian and I thought Alabama was not the same. And Georgia looked great every week of the year. outside of the SEC championship. And so, like, and that's really my whole takeaway. I know we got heated back and forth in just a minute ago, but like, I just have seen Alabama play down and play down and play down. And so am I to think that they've just turned a corner now since the SEC championship, and now like all of those problems that they had in the beginning of the year are fixed? Or am I to think like they played up really, really well? Georgia had an off game with some turnovers and some bad decisions, and it'll kind of even back out. And that's truly what I think, is that like, it'll even back out and it'll go one way or the other. Like, very closely. I think it'll be a one score game as opposed to just an onslaught from one team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to be an onslaught from one team. I think that it's really dicey to say that an 11-1 team just fix all those problems. I mean, there can't have been that many problems, but like I said, this is the worst.
Did you watch the Alabama Auburn game?
Yes. This is the worst.
That did not look good until the last drive of the game.
Yeah. I watched it right after I watched Florida beat Florida State in person. I think that this is the worst Alabama team we've seen in a decade. I still think that this is an Alabama team that's going to win a national championship. I think that there is not a big enough gap between these two teams in terms of, I mean, there's not a gap, obviously, with players, but just in terms of what we've seen this season, I don't think there's a big enough gap to overcome coaching. And Nick Saban is a much better on the field game day coach than Kirby is. Kirby is been able to match him toe to toe recruiting wise. I think he is able to rally the troops motivationally. I just think when it comes down to it, the person that you want calling your plays between the two is Nick Saban. And I think that that was the difference in the SEC championship game. I think that that will be the difference in the national championship game. I think that he is the differential between the two programs right now.
Yeah, and I will say the talent is still heavily in Alabama's favor. Like, if you look at, like, the recruit, like, the total 4 and 5 stars, like, they still have more.
I don't know that it's much, though, because,
I mean, Georgia's number 2 in the country. It's still enough to notice. Like, it's still enough. Like, I don't know. When I saw the stat the other day, I'll have to scroll back, and it's forever ago on Twitter, but it was something like 10 or 12 more blue chips. Yeah. Like, still a good number. I mean, that's still like 12% of your roster. Right. So,
I mean, their 2020 class was the number one team, right? Georgia's.
Yeah. But each class is interdependent of itself. Like, just saying it was number one, 1 year doesn't equal number one. Like, if you had 10, 5 stars 1 year and 4,
I get it. I'm pulling up rankings. Because I think 19, they had the number 2 class in the country. 20, they had the number 1 class in the country. Like, are you telling me you think that there's such a massive difference? I don't know. Yeah,
it was like 10 or 12 blue chips. Like, again, you're looking at recruiting classes of guys. You're looking at recruiting classes of guys that have transferred out, no longer in the program, transferred in. So recruiting classes are somewhat irrelevant right now. I saw like the actual guys remaining on the roster was.
I don't know. I can't, when you've got teams that beat both of them in the last, multiple handful of years, it's hard for me to, that we're nowhere near either one of them recruiting class composite rankings, blue chips on their roster currently or whatever else. It's hard for me to really wrap my head around the idea that there's that big of a Jimmy's and Joe's difference between Alabama and Georgia. I think.
I would say that Alabama still has especially, with what we've seen Georgia have issues at quarterback and stuff.
Kirby Smart could sign six five-star quarterbacks and start a walk-on.
Question real quick. Would you take Alabama's roster or Georgia's roster?
Well, I'd take Alabama's because of Bryce Young.
Same thing. I'd take the roster that is ranked slightly better. I didn't say it was like
a I'd take the roster. Like, I don't care about any of the rest of it. I take the one with the better quarterback. That's what wins you championships, so.
Well, it didn't work out for Florida last year. So,
but listen, they've signed 6 5-star quarterbacks. So, what is the problem with that? Is that a development?
I don't know that the national championship preview is a time to break down Kirby's development of quarterbacks. If you'd like to another episode, we certainly can. 28-24. I think it's a little more high scoring. I think it's like 34-31.
I could see that.
But, I don't know. This show is – or this I mean, just it could get out of hand just rematches, like last time too.
Like, you know, except for when they're won like 52-20 and things like that. In general, rematches are a little bit closer than the
and typically original. Go the other way.
They do typically go the other way. They do. That is true. It is definitely difficult to beat the same team twice in one season. Yeah. And so
the Bucks lost to the Saints both times in the regular season, one in the playoffs. It just happens a lot. The rematch is very tough to
Yeah, the rematch is hard. It's hard to beat the same team multiple times in the season, for sure. That is not an easy feat.
But it's pretty much a done deal according to you because they made Nick Saban an underdog. So
I just told you 60-40 that I think, I mean, that's not a guaranteeing a win, but I think that Nick Saban does bring home another national championship game or title.
I don't think anybody would be shocked with Nick Saban. You know, no. I don't think it's too bold of a prediction for you to
no
say that Nick Saban's going to win a title. Will you be surprised, though? You said 60-40. Like, will you be surprised if Georgia comes out and wins? How surprised will you be?
A little bit. I mean, a little bit. I think they have, like I said, a less than 50% chance of winning. I don't think they have a 0% chance of winning. I don't think they have a 10% chance of winning. But I think that it is more likely that Alabama beats Georgia. I will not be completely shocked if it goes the other way. But I will be slightly surprised.
The good news for you is that because they're both in the SEC, even if Georgia
get a championship either way,
you get to celebrate with all those fine folks in Athens either way, even if it doesn't go the way you predicted. So that's what I'm most happy about for you. Nobody rides coattails like teams that finish below 500 in the SEC.
You are insane. Do you know how many different teams have won a national title in the SEC in the last 20 years? Six.
How many won in the last? How many have won in the last decade?
Two, three. Alabama, LSU. Was Auburn's in the last decade?
They were 2011. So three.
So three. All so the West. I mean, three teams, and then six of the last 20 years. That's impressive. There's no other conference that comes close to touching that. So, like, we can laugh all up, you know. But nobody else has done it.
It's very impressive.
Yes, it is.
I mean, like I said, nobody rides coattails more than the team that finishes below 500 in the SEC and cheers on their conference foes to win titles. It's a weird phenomenon to me, but we've talked about it in the past. What was your beef with the playoff? What are your thoughts on the playoff?
Okay, so this is my, you know, I feel like social media was a battle between the, we have to expand the playoffs right this second, and, you know, bowl season doesn't matter to, don't yell at bowl season, bowl season's amazing. And I mean, the majority of these people are all idiots, but this is my take on this. I think that part of the reason the BCS was done away with is that people didn't like multiple SEC teams playing each other. So then it was like, okay.
How many times did that happen? How many times did that happen in the BCS? Just once. I think
once or twice. LSU, Alabama, right? For sure.
It's the only one I can. So, yeah, I don't think that's the reason the playoff started because the BCS never had two SEC teams other than that game.
Okay. Well, listen.
So that's not the reason the playoff was started, was to keep two SEC teams out, because it happened one out of 14 years.
And people were pissed about it. But I think we got this idea in our head that if we play it out on the field, we're going to get a more true champion. We're not going to get these same matches that we see over and over and over again. So then we moved to this playoff format. Multiple times we've gotten two SEC teams against each other. But what we're seeing in general is the same three-ish teams generally. And then every once in a while we get a fourth that's a new face to the crowd. This year we had two that we've seen before and two new ones, which is more diverse than the playoffs have been generally. But we're still getting, at the end of the day, the best team in college football. We're talking now about expanding the playoffs, and the arguments, you know, kind of range all over the place. The only argument that I can see that I think makes legitimate sense, we talked about it on the show before, for expanding the playoffs, is only to make the bowls matter again. And I think if we can come to grips and like be forthright about why we're doing it, I could potentially get behind this. But the whole concept that we need to expand the playoffs so that we make sure we get the right champion is insane to me, because we're seeing blowouts in the semifinals almost every single semifinal game. So you can't tell me that four teams that are not as good as those four, the four that do make the playoffs, are going to give us better games. They're not. We're just going to have more games that are blowouts. And listen, we know I'm here for more college football, so I'll watch more crappy games, and that's fine, more blowouts. But the idea that we're going to end up with a different champion is dumb. We're not. There's nobody that was a better team than Georgia or Alabama. We could have had a 64 team college football playoff, and guess who we're ending up with in the championship game this year? Georgia and Alabama.
And that's the other thing. Like, would you even want, like, people are like, oh, I love upsets because I love, like, because they think about college basketball. You just don't know. You don't want upsets. Could you imagine if Cincinnati would have been able to find a way to pull that off? Could you imagine if Michigan would have, we'd have a terrible, nobody would care about the game on Monday. It'd be terrible.
And like, no, I want to that happening in a four team would be even less annoying than if it happens in an even bigger one. And look, listen, everybody loves the Cinderella team for like one or two rounds in basketball. It's not like they actually want this team to win a championship game. It just doesn't work like that. But college football operates differently than any other sport in college. Every regular season game matters. If you make the playoffs so big that you can lose three games and still backdoor your way into an at-large bid, we are no longer getting the best teams invited. It's just, at that point, it's just an invitational. Like, it just, it doesn't carry the same amount of weight to me. And we're not getting a different result. So if what we're saying is we want to do this because we have broke college football by getting rid of the BCS and paying our players and doing all these other things that we're doing, fine. You can tell me this is your attempt at fixing it, but don't tell me that we have to have a playoff game because we're not crowning a true champion and we don't know we're getting the best team, because we do know that we're getting the best teams. There is no team in college football that is better than Alabama or Georgia right now. There just isn't.
No, you're absolutely right. I want to go back to like the domination of the SEC in the playoffs and championships and stuff in just a minute. But you're right. No, the argument, and that's what people do. They create a straw man. I mean, you're much like yourself when you're arguing for the SEC and stuff. But no, they create a straw man, and they're saying like, oh, you want to expand the playoffs and we're just going to get even worse blowouts. And that's, again, that's not the point. The point is just to save the bowls. The point is to make more games.
And I'm okay with someone saying that. Like, listen, we're tired of players opting out, so we want to make these matter for them, correct. And we want them to
play make it a bigger field. And I don't think you make it a 16-team playoff and you have one play 16. I think your first four get byes. And you have five play 16 and four versus 15. Five versus 16 this year would have been Ohio State finished fifth. So five versus 16, it's probably not going to be beautiful, but we'll still look at like, where the heck are like rankings? Oh, they kind of go away after the season. Five versus 15 would have been Iowa versus Ohio State. That actually was a good game when they play. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Like, let them play. The next one would have been, Notre Dame versus Iowa. That'd have been great. The next one would have been Ohio State versus Oregon. A rematch there. That would have been amazing. Baylor versus BYU. Absolutely. Pittsburgh versus Ole Miss. Wasn't that the game? That might have been the game. I don't know. But yeah, I think all these games would have been great, you know? And then you move them on to the next round against the good teams, and they're going to get blown out.
We're asking these athletes to continue to risk their bodies for injury. These guys that are really close to the finish line from being able to put food on their table for their families, provide a life for them, change their
George Bush path. Said that one time, and, put food on their family. Like, y'all are just working hard trying to put food on your families.
All right. Well,
we love George W.
I don't know. I do love George W. But I don't know that adding those games to end up with the same champion at the end of the day is a trade-off that some of these guys are willing to make with their bodies. It is a big commitment to ask for three more games out of these guys, or four more games, or whatever.
I think you're
out
of
these players. But then I don't want to do anything that doesn't make the regular season matter as much. And I do think
the regular season's already meaningless.
I don't think so. It's already meaningless. I don't think the regular season is meaningless. I mean, you have to.
It means less than it did 8 years ago.
Yeah, which is why we should have stuck with the BCS. But
speaking of that, the all-time reigning BCS champions won their title 8 years ago tonight. Do you remember where you were watching that game?
I
do. All-time reigning BCS championship.
But what, all-time because you just happened to be the last game in the BCS? Is that?
Has anyone won it since then?
Okay, go on.
Were you upset when they started to come back?
No, honestly, that was such a good game that I was totally okay with it. That was a really fun football game to watch.
It wasn't in the first half being there. Let me just tell you that. But it was the second half was a lot more fun. So shout out Jameis. Happy birthday. I'm sure he's watching and listening. I'm sure he watches right now live, and then he's listening tomorrow morning in his car on the way to work. Sure. But yeah, all-time reigning champs. How many – okay, let's not count. I don't want you to like – well, you could like think them through, but like don't Google this. Don't Google. Put down ESPN. I'm watching you. From 1981 until the year 2000, how many SEC teams won national championships?
Oh, you picked 81 because you want to leave Georgia's 1980 out of that, huh?
No, because I used the two because that's how the numbers worked out to be 40 years. Like last year's would be the last one.
Okay.
So I just did two sets of 20, the most recent ones. But it did work out lucky for me that was the last.
That didn't happen. So Florida won it in 96, and Tennessee won it, I want to say, in 98-ish, maybe? Mm-hmm. 98, 99, 97, something in there. I don't know. Who else?
The only other one was Alabama in 1992.
Okay. Oh, that's right. 92. Okay.
So 3 out of 20 national championships.
Now do the next 20 years.
I am. I got you.
Okay.
So outside of that, let me look at one other thing. I've got
it.
So there really wasn't this SEC dominance until.
Which, by the way, Florida actually was named in 1984. If we're going the UCF route,
UCF. No, we're not doing this on that show.
Florida actually won one in 1984.
Yeah,
as
we could all claim, when they were cheating and stuff and on violation.
Poll gave it to us. So as a nod to my UCF friends, I'll claim it.
How many the next 20 years? Do you know?
So it would have been starting in 2000.
Yeah. Do you want to total them all up, or do you just want me to tell you? We've been going for a while.
I mean, just tell me. Florida started off that reign.
12.
12.
No, Florida didn't start it off. LSU
won. In the 2000s? Oh, that's right. LSU in three.
I know you always think it's about y'all, but it's not. Okay. But without Nick Saban, do you know what the number is? Like, if Nick Saban didn't exist.
Three?
Yeah. Well, it's five. It's five. So it's two more than just before. Because Saban's won 7. Like, that's just simple math. Like, just basic math. So outside of, like, Nick Saban coming along and being the absolute GOAT, the SEC's, like, a little bit better than they were the 20 years before. Like, it went from 3 to 5. No, that's my point. Hold on. Is that essentially the SEC has gotten two games better, two championships better than they were before, outside of just having the greatest coach in any sport in any time in any history.
The counter argument to that is that they have had 6 teams out of 12 until 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever Texas A&M and Missouri were added to it, they've had 6. So half of the conference until just a couple of years ago has won a national championship. There's no other conference that can say that.
You care about that? Like that Georgia Georgia won a championship 40 years ago? Like that's what you're bragging about?
You're saying that Nick Saban carries the conference, that's not actually true.
Has he not carried the conference?
No. Auburn has won during that time. Florida has won during that time. LSU has won during that time.
Yeah, but he's still carrying the conference.
He would carry any conference he was
absolutely,
in, no matter what.
Absolutely. Yes, he would carry, well, maybe not the NFL. We saw how that worked out, but
but that's not a, we're talking college football.
He, Yeah, he absolutely carries the conference. Like, do you not think that, like, do you think that the SEC has made Nick Saban or that Nick Saban's made the SEC? That's a good question.
No.
Because before he got there, you had won three championships in 20 years.
Florida won two of three right before he got there.
Right. So then it was three before he got there, right? Because it was LSU and the two by you guys.
I mean, so I would say that conference was on the way up prior to him jumping in.
You don't think he helped at all?
Oh, of course I think he helped. I don't think he made it.
I think he has made the conference into what it is.
Okay. Well, I think you're wrong. No.
He also won the one. He won before you guys, didn't he? When did LSU?
Yeah, he won with LSU in 2003.
In between. No 2007. No, 2003, right?
No, he won one with LSU in 2003. LSU won in between
us. He did start it off. Yeah. This man.
I mean, he's a hell of a coach. He's the best coach in college football. I don't think that it's fair to say that the reason the conference is good is because of Nick Saban.
No, I'm not saying the reason they're good, but do you
literally just said he made the SEC.
He made it out of
your mouth.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's different. I'm not saying they wouldn't be good without him, but do you think they'd have the pedigree? Do you think the SEC would be viewed the way it is right now without Nick Saban? Do you think it would have the pedigree it has right now without his seven championships?
I can tell you.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Do you think if you took seven championships away, you took Nick Saban out, the SEC would be viewed the same way?
Yeah.
That's horseshit. Like, how do you believe that? How do you believe that?
Have you seen the number
seven championships away?
Have you seen the number of all-time draft picks that have come out of the SEC? Not just Alabama, the SEC. The SEC has dominated NFL
but if you take Alabama away
for a bajillion years. If you take Alabama away, they probably still dominate.
So the SEC would be just as thought of just as highly if you took seven championships.
The reason
away.
That the SEC is thought of so highly is because there is talent everywhere. There are
and a
so
big
many
part
programs.
Of it. And a That's big like, part of it is
of
Nick
course.
Saban.
Of course, a big part of it is. But the conference is good because there are so many good teams in it. The conference isn't good because there's one badass team
saying,
and a bunch
I'm
of bottom
saying
dwellers.
Nick Saban, see, I think you're interpreting that. But I'm saying the only thing. So I'm not saying the only thing good about the SEC is Nick Saban. That's not my argument. My argument is that without Nick Saban, the SEC doesn't look as good as it does right now. I'll give you this. I'll even give you this caveat. I would have the SEC as the best conference in college football right now if Nick Saban never existed. So, like, I'll still give you that.
That is all I'm saying. Nick Saban is the star on top.
He is the angel on the top of your tree.
He makes
the tree look better. No, like, that's all I'm asking is does Nick Saban make the SEC better?
Of course he makes the SEC better.
And you said no like six times.
No, you said would the SEC be viewed the same?
Well, is your tree viewed the same without the star on top?
You answered the question the same way I did by saying you still would think it's the best conference. That's my point. If he's not in there, they're still the best conference. Does he make them better?
Absolutely.
Does he? Is he the
best?
But
if you're the best, if you're the best at a, if you have the best grade in class at a 92 or a 94, and you have the best grade in class at 100, that's my point. Is that yes, you were the best around all the other midgets, but you were.
Are they better with Alabama and Nick Saban? 1,000%.
That's
all I was asking. Are they still the best conference in college football?
All I was asking.
1,000%.
I appreciate you for agreeing with me that they are better with Nick Saban. Okay. Like that's all that I was asking. Do you think Florida State's a better program with Bobby Bowden?
Yes.
Do you think Florida State's a better program with Deion Sanders? Do you think Florida State's a better program with Jameis Winston and Deion Sanders? Like that's all I'm asking. Is like, you know. Are you guys lucky that you guys got a rematch in 96? Yes. Like we all, you know, sometimes fortunate things happen for people.
Thank you, Joe Germain and Ohio State.
Whew. I'm glad that after we talked through a couple of our issues tonight, you eventually, sheesh.
Well, if you were a better communicator and weren't trying to dog the conference in the way that you were asking the question, then it could have been more clear from the get-go.
It's funny that I said, do you think that the SEC would be
viewed the same if they didn't have Nick Saban? And when I say yes, I'm meaning yes, they'd be viewed the same. They'd still be seen as the best conference in college football, which you later agreed with me on. So thank you for agreeing with me.
So that is not at all the representation of what was said.
It's exactly what
was,
you said. Roll it back.
The question was, would they be viewed the same way? And I don't think you could take out the greatest coach of all time and think that Alabama, I'm sorry, and think that the SEC would be as dominant as they are today. Would they still be the best? Sure. Would they be as dominant? No. Like, and that was my question. Would you view Alabama, the SEC, the same way without Nick Saban right now? I don't know how you could. Would you view the NBA the same way without, if the Lakers never existed? Well, they'd still be the best basketball league.
Right, which is my point.
Right. But, like, would you still view them the same way? You know, like, if you took out the best team ever and all those players and everything that happened with it? So
I mean, we wouldn't know
how many more titles. Right.
How many more titles? What?
How many more titles would Florida have if not?
All right, you just broke up for a second. Say it again.
How many more titles? Would Florida have more titles if it wasn't for Nick Saban?
Yeah, they would have a title in 2009. Nick Saban's probably who broke Urban Meyer, so maybe he sticks around and we have another one. But, I mean, they lost.
Maybe that was God for Urban Meyer just being a piece of crap. Maybe it wasn't Nick Saban.
They lost to Nick Saban in the SEC championship game. My cousin caught a touchdown for Alabama in that game in 2009. If that doesn't happen, that 2009 team was damn talented. They would have won a national championship game that year. So they'd have at least one. I don't know that it stops the train wreck that happened after that, but they at least would have that one.
Did Colt McCoy get injured in that game against Alabama? Wasn't that like the first play of the game in that championship? Alabama and Texas played, and then Colt got hurt, like I think the first play.
I don't remember
Alabama, Texas, if he got hurt or not. Colt.
I do remember
making that up, but following a fake, yeah, he got injured in the very first drive of the game. See, so I will say this. I don't know that you guys would have beat Texas that year because, like, they hung around with Alabama even with Cole out. But yeah, you could have one more. I was just kind of curious.
I mean, Florida, yeah. I mean, yes, once. To be sure. I don't know that you could credit any other ones after that unless Urban Meyer doesn't get broken from Nick Saban, which I am pretty sure that that's where that started. But that one, I think.
All right. You want to bet on this
game regardless?
I actually think Alabama win game, but I'd like to bet something because I just want to, okay. I just feel like you've got me all riled up tonight. So I just want to cheer against you. Okay. So what can we bet? I've got a bottle of whiskey over at Ben's house.
No, the smoky stuff. No,
you don't say that.
Stop trying to give me that stuff.
I took it back to his house when he was in Orlando. I don't know. All right, let's think of something and then we'll bet that. Can you think of anything?
I don't know. Should do babysitting is what we should do.
I'm down.
I don't want
that.
My kids to kill you and Kara. No, I wouldn't do that to Kara. I'm sure you're down by it with it because that's because you make Kara do the heavy lifting, and I'm not doing that to her. This
sure,
is
it would be great. No. I'd love to have six kids over at your house. All right, we'll think of something off air.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to us argue for an
hour.
Wait,
do your pick. What's your score prediction?
Oh, I don't know. I
said 34-31. 34-31. All right, I'll go 28-24 then.
Yeah, I think it's a little higher. But I mean, I like Alabama to win. I'm just betting against you betting against you so I can win. I'm picking it. Yeah,
got
just
it.
To be a jerk.
So we didn't talk about Louisiana Lafayette.
Because they're irrelevant. And, okay. You know, I'm glad that half of your staff and a bunch of your players are now going to be from there. Like, I'm excited for that.
Okay.
You excited to have a group of five staff, group of five players on your team?
I mean, listen, apparently they can all recruit, so I'm here for that. And I think that the staff that he's hired, the on-the-field staff so far, has been great. Got Mike Peterson back. I think that that's huge. South Carolina's not that pumped about that, but they had to have seen that coming, given that he is a Gator. And I think that that was a huge hire. I'm excited to see. Supposedly there's a couple more that are going to be announced in the next week or two that are coaching in the NFL. So excited for the NFL season to wrap up so that we can complete the staff. But yeah, big things going on in Gainesville right now. Here for it.
What record do you guys have? You got what do you have you guys with this year as far as a record goes?
This upcoming year?
Yeah. Look at the schedule. I know this is really early, but
it is really early. That's what Utah, I'm pulling up right now.
Game one. Are you
is a hard game? I mean, that's Utah's a great
I
team.
Love it. You guys haven't played a tough game in like to start a season, I feel like. I called Michigan once or twice, right? But like
Michigan last year.
Never, I mean, but they were terrible last year.
I mean, they made the playoffs this year. So.
They did a good job. Yeah, it's turnaround. Good job. What'd they go like 4-4? Where they go like 2-4 last year, 4-6 last year. They opted out of the Ohio State game, I think.
They did, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I will say this, not just because it was your most prolific offense ever. I think taking anything away from the 2020 season is like kind of a laugher right now.
Yeah,
like you know, yeah. I know it's the best year you guys have had in a decade, but you got to just let it go. It wasn't that.
So Utah, Kentucky, USF, Tennessee, Eastern Washington, Missouri, LSU, Georgia, Texas A&M, which is interesting. Georgia has yet to travel to Kyle Field. This is going to be like Florida's third time there. South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and
third
Florida
time?
State.
I thought
third
it was only the time. Second time there.
No,
I thought
they
it was your
went
third time playing them.
No,
you played them at home once.
We played them at Kyle Field last year, and we played them at Kyle Field
due
They're
to the
very,
pandemic.
Due to the pandemic, yes.
That wasn't a scheduled thing. So
no, but it is the third time. Well, it was scheduled because the SEC shuffled things around and put it on there. So,
right. So, like, but I don't.
But it's going to be Florida's third time going to Kyle Field. I mean, it doesn't mean that the game didn't exist just because it was a pandemic that scheduled it. This is Florida's third time traveling to Kyle Field. Texas A&M's first ever game in the SEC was against Florida. In Texas, I went to that game. That was Johnny Manziel's very first game as a freshman. And my dad and I looked at each other and we're like, man, this guy's going to win the Heisman. We didn't think it was going to be that year. That good.
I'm disagreeing with you on this. This is – oh, you're counting in 2012.
That was their first game in the SEC. That's what I'm saying. Right. I went to that game. That was – Georgia has yet to go there then. Since 2012 when they joined, Georgia
were they supposed
yet
to go last year? No. Did it get messed up?
I don't think they were supposed to go last year. I don't know, but they've yet to be scheduled to play them there, and this is Florida's third time going there.
Has A&M gone to
Athens? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would assume that they've had to have played each other, but I don't know. I mean, we played that. It's so bizarre the way that you play the West teams.
Oh, yeah,
so the
each
fact
other.
That
yeah
that we have played them this many times and all there is a bit wild.
Yeah. And again, I do think that last year, like, I think what they are is on there, like, how many teams are in the SEC? So 14, you have your 14. One team you play every single year. So it's
from
on a
West,
7-year, it's on a 7-year rotation.
Right.
And so you play
somehow,
your.
Since 2012, we played them three times.
Well, again, and last year is
so
part
within
of the normal,
10 years, though, I mean, that's.
No, it's on a it's a 14-year thing. If you play a team every 7 years, you're not going
because this is 2022 coming up is this game. Florida will have played them three times in that 10-year span, though.
Even
if there was only two, that's still more than the average rotation should be.
So why have they? Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. It's. I mean, it's
they
there.
Did play
it's
in
an awesome place to. It's an awesome place to see.
So anyway,
it was
back to your
fun,
schedule. But... So Utah is going to be really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
A&M, I think A&M's a loss. Like, I'm not trying to be negative, super negative right now, think they're in a, I think they're in a better place than you. I mean, that's a better team than Florida.
So
Florida went, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I know the SEC is the greatest thing ever. I know that, you know, Nick Saban doesn't matter and you guys would be number one without him, but Florida, we got to remember Florida's coming off a 6-7 season.
So I think the over under is 8 games.
Yeah,
and I think that if that happens, that's a win, right?
Yeah, you won 6 this year, so it's improving.
Could Florida be better than that? Maybe. Could they be worse than that? Yeah. I think a lot will depend on how the quarterback situation shakes out. I know that everybody thinks that Anthony Richardson is the starter. He's the guy. I am not confident that that will be decided. I hope he goes into spring and lights it up and there is no question about who Florida starter is and it's him and we are riding him off to the Heisman. Like I would love nothing more, but I will not be surprised if we see some quarterback controversy this spring.
I got Emory coming back. Let's go.
So that is interesting that Emory has not entered the transfer portal, which we talked about this on this podcast a couple of weeks ago. I told you before the bowl game that, yes, he said he was going to, but he hadn't ever officially entered it. And this is what I'll say. I find it very ironic that Gator fans are livid about the idea of him potentially staying. Because here's the deal. If he's staying, it's only because Napier's convinced him to stay, right? So your new coach, who I don't know if you saw this or not, but last week I literally questioned the decision-making process for a coach not being retained. I just said, I'd love to know what the thought process was. Didn't even say like worst decision or terrible decision or anything like that. I said, I'd like to know the thought process behind the decision. I literally was told to join a different fan base. I was told that if I'm not 100% behind Napier and all of his choices, I need to get out. Like, I mean, total craziness from Gator fans. But those same fans are like, oh, Emory better not be staying, or he better not, blah, blah, blah. He's only staying, if he is staying, because he has Napier's blessing to stay. I don't think he's going to ever be Florida's starting quarterback again. If he is Florida's starting quarterback again, we got a real problem in the quarterback room. But I just think it's asinine to freak out about that, but then say you have to 100% trust Napier in other aspects. If he's staying, it's because our new head coach invited him to.
I hope he starts another game for you guys, hopefully against Utah. So Utah game, that's going to be a tough one. I wouldn't say that's but I'll say this. I think 8 wins is right around the right mark. You play some absolute gimmies like every year in Vandy, Eastern Washington, USF. I mean, that's 3 wins right there, right? And so it's like, out of the other 9, can you find 5? Right?
Just got a text message from my husband that said, or he's staying because no one else wants him.
It's true. I mean, it would be very unprecedented for
he's never entered the portal, so technically no one's allowed to contact him right now.
Florida could pull his scholarship. But
well, because now they're yearly, they have to be signed yearly. It used to be 4 years.
That's probably not going to happen. They're probably not going to pull a scholar. But like, if he wants to come back, he's coming back. Would be wild. It would be wild if Billy was like, "Nah, dog, you're out." Like, we're just,
I don't know that he would pull a scholarship, but he could pull him in and be like, "Listen, so here's the deal. You can't play quarterback for me. So if you choose to stay, you're going to have to switch positions, or you're going to have to ride the bench because you will never play quarterback for me." That could happen.
I don't know that he'd be in a situation to do that.
I don't know that he is either.
I know that Emory wasn't great, but like, I know that the generational guy behind him wasn't much better.
He thought he was entering the transfer portal. He publicly said he was entering the transfer portal. There is a reason he didn't. My suspicion is the reason
he went back and looked at Anthony. Yeah, he looked back at Anthony Richardson's. He looked back at Anthony Richardson's stats and said, like, wait, this guy wasn't any better than me except for that one game.
I might
as well come back and fight it out.
My assumption is he was asked by the staff not to enter the transfer portal for whatever reason that is. Oof. Whether that means that they're having to switch positions, whether that means
it was a coaching decision that you had to question last week. But if the staff asked him to not enter the transfer portal, you almost got to question that too, right?
Well, I mean, so here's the deal: are they asking him?
Because he went on social media afterwards, and
he didn't. He didn't go on social media. Somebody shared like a snap or a whatever that was private. Yeah, but somebody recorded it and played it. You're sending it to a friend or who you think is a friend, and it ends up there. That's not the same. Well, for sure, but that's not the same as making an Instagram video and putting it out there to the world.
He knew that. He knew when he was sending that there was a chance that he got caught.
Don't love it, but
you got to put yourself in a better position than that.
You got to trust your coach, right?
So Utah's back to the schedule one more time. Utah's a tough one. Kentucky's going to be a tough one. I think Kentucky's a tough game. You see that as a toss-up?
I think Tennessee's a tough game.
Tennessee's a really tough one. I think Missouri, I think you should win. LSU's a tough one. But they're kind of a weird one. We both play LSU this year, and I'm really glad we play them second week of the year.
Yeah.
Well, really week one. We have a week zero game this year, which is kind of weird. But I'm thankful for. I'm really glad we play LSU early.
Yeah.
You know, playing them in
longer
early
they have
September,
to put it together, the better.
Yeah, I'd rather play them in early September than early October. Like I think remember we went down and like whose schedule was tougher, this, that, and the other last year. I think your game against LSU, even though it's at home and ours is at neutral, I think your game against LSU is going to be tougher than ours.
Because they have a few more weeks to put it together.
Right. And as much as, like, I mean, you have bragging rights. I'm not trying to, like, play the ifs and what's yet. But, like, our two teams were pretty similar by the end of the year. I mean, there's a reason it was a three-point spread. It's a reason it was a three-point game. Like, your team went 6-7. Mine went 5-7. Like, I don't think Florida is stratospheres better than Florida State right now by any means. You know, do you? Do you feel like Florida's way better?
Yes.
What about Florida proved? This is going to be another argument. Okay, well, that's fine.
Nope,
you think Florida's you think Florida's three-point win shows that they're definitively, like, leagues better. Who had the better – never mind. I do need to hear this. What makes Florida way, way better? What about Florida? It makes
Florida's
just,
got
other
better
than the fact that you bleed blue and orange.
Listen, Florida beat Florida State with a few GAs. And
no, we're not doing this. Jimmy's and Joe's. I know that that's a
so
very high. I know. Hold on.
Coaching staff and another.
You lose that game with Mullen. No, I don't even buy that. You lose that game with Mullen. He was an absolute cancer toward the end of the year. Look how you guys played against different teams. I think the guys got. You mentioned this. The guys are going to get up for these coaches, knowing that they've been disrespected all year. You know that was a storyline that went into that. Jimmy's and Joe's. Went out there and played, and it was a three-point game. Like,
Florida has better Jimmy's
and
Joe's. Listen, it won't be a three-point game.
And you think the staff? And you think the staff downgraded? Personally, you
think
Mullen's a better coach? You think Mullen's a better coach than Napier? So you think they got worse this year?
First of all,
you said that.
I've said I think that Mullen is a more experienced and better game day coach, and I do think that. That doesn't mean that
I'm not talking about recruiting and all the other stuff.
By the end of it, Napier's clearly a better recruiter.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about game day.
Okay.
They downgraded.
Listen,
on the sideline.
Florida will beat Florida State by more than 3 points this year. But let's keep going down the schedule.
So the Florida game's a toss-up. The Florida-Florida State game's a toss-up.
No, it's not.
That game's in Tallahassee. Your team went 6-7 this year.
It's not a scary place to play.
Your team went 6-7 this year. Mm-hmm. I know you think that's amazing, and because you've got two SEC teams in the championship tonight or on Monday, you think that somehow that makes your team better. But your team was barely better than Florida State this year.
With the wheels falling off and the house on fire.
Florida State's wheels weren't falling off. After losing to Jacksonville
you
State,
told me
after
the
going
0-4, right after almost beating Notre Dame, you told me. What did you tell me? First, you got to lose big. Then you got to lose close.
Well,
then
Florida State didn't do that. Did they not lose to Jacksonville State the week
Listen,
after that?
I'm just telling you. You told me that this team was on the right trajectory.
They went 5-3 across the last eight. Right.
Yay.
I mean, that's good.
How's that moral victory? Good, right?
You're pounding your chest about 6-7. I appreciate it.
I'm not pounding my chest. I'm just telling you, they're not close. Those two teams are not close.
They sure were on the field where it matters.
Mm-hmm. You think whatever you want, but I'm just telling you, that game is not a toss-up in my mind. There's a lot of toss-ups on Florida's schedule next year. Florida State ain't one of them.
I got to write this down because that's definitely going to get clipped. 1-6. All right. South Carolina. I think that's a loss.
It's a tough game for sure.
I mean, you lost that game. Now, I know that you think that Florida is leagues better than Florida State after their three-point win there. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear you spin how you think that Florida is better than South Carolina after their 30-point loss to them.
They're a more talented football team. The house was on fire at that point. I think that that's going to be a tough game. South Carolina is really trending the right direction. They have a great new head coach. Beamer is just really got that program moving in the right direction. I think it's going to be a couple of years before it's, you know, sustained success for them, if it's going to be, but they will beat teams that they are not supposed to. And I think that it will be a tough game. And Beamer aside, this last season against South Carolina aside, in general, Florida and South Carolina play each other close. So that has been a thorn in Florida's heel for a very long time. That is always a close game. It will continue to be a close game.
So from one 30-point loss to another, I'd like to hear how you guys are beating Georgia this year.
Well, we're going to just have to see. I don't think that that's a win, but You know, like, Napier so what would you call that? I'm there.
What would you call that one?
That would be a loss.
You got you have you guys losing to A&M?
Probably. Okay. I mean, LSU? I think that it's more likely they lose to Georgia. So I think the if you're looking at the schedule, the most likely gimme loss is Georgia. After that, I would say LSU, and then after that, I would say Texas A&M in terms of order of likelihood of losses.
At Tennessee?
So that Tennessee and Kentucky would be my toss-up for the next two most likely losses. I would say probably Tennessee, although I don't know. Florida's beaten them something like 17 in a row. Kentucky we've struggled with. So I guess if you're going to look at
you guys what they've done. Tennessee in 2014, I believe. 2014 or 2015, sorry. So it's not 17.
Oh, but you're right. Because my brother-in-law passed out and didn't, and he's a Tennessee fan and didn't realize Tennessee won.
So but you guys had a big lead and they came back.
Kentucky
Tennessee looks a lot better. Yeah.
Kentucky has beaten Florida a few times more so than Tennessee has. So, you know,
oh, and Utah, we didn't talk about Utah. Where does Utah rank in with A&M, Georgia, LSU?
See, I'm factoring that in. I think that they're more likely to lose to a Tennessee or Kentucky, and then Utah would fall in somewhere underneath there. Wow.
Utah looked really good this year.
They did, but so did Kentucky and Tennessee. I mean, these are Florida has
not New Year's Six Bowl. So anyway, all right, you got them at 7-5. 7-5 is your record prediction right now. More likely. No, I'm sorry. You said 8-4. 8-4.
I said 8-4.
Yeah. 8-4. More likely. 9 wins or 7 wins?
Probably 7 wins.
I got the same thing. I think you guys finished 7-5. If you beat Utah, you can get to 8 wins. But if you lose to them, I don't see a path to. If you lose to Utah week one, I don't see a path.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be a welcome to the Power Five as a head coach, Napier. I mean that's it's hard to draw up. You know, that's a hard game to start with. We're talking about a team who
returns everyone.
Is
just took Ohio State to the absolute bell with a backup quarterback.
You know, a few breaks to go Ohio State's win to pull that out. I mean, that was Utah's a great football team. It is going to be, I would never sit here and say, I think it's a gimme loss. I don't think that it's an automatic loss, but I think if they win, it's a hell of a first win because it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah. I got that as a loss. Who? I mean, because who's the quarterback?
We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess most people would tell you Anthony Richardson, and you know what? Hopefully it is.
Yikes.
But we'll see.
Hopefully he plays well in that one, just so it doesn't get ugly. All right, cool. Well, tune in next November for me to revisit Ali's take that the game will not be close. You know what I do want to say, as much as you hate me and as much as I know that at the beginning of the year, you were telling me, I remember at the beginning of the year last year that you were telling me that Florida and Florida State had no chance to be close. I do remember that. And I think my scenario was, do you remember saying that? You remember saying that at the beginning of your last year? That you thought that Florida would blow out Florida State? I mean, we could find what your record
was. I mean, Florida was a damn train wreck and still beat them. So I don't like...
So you don't remember that? You don't remember saying that Florida would beat Florida State by a lot at the beginning of the year?
You kept my notes of quotes?
I just have a notebook that everything goes
in.
You had Florida 40-13.
Okay.
Was your score. I believe my take, if anybody wants to go back and listen and find this, my take was that if Florida drops a couple of games that they shouldn't, they drop the games we know they're going to drop, that was Georgia and LSU and stuff like that for me. You predicted them to go undefeated, I know. But that if Florida drops the games, we know they're going to drop. Alabama, LSU, Georgia also drops a couple of games that they're not supposed to drop. Kentucky, Missouri, almost Samford, things like that. South Carolina, that Florida. And if Florida State found a way to kind of put it together and play up, that game could be close. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly
what happened. Did that game really feel close to you at any point in time?
I believe it was a tie game at halftime, right? Or was it 10-7 at halftime?
That game never felt close. You and I both sat in that stadium. There was never a point in time where that game felt close. K Kickoff.
I'd say the whole I'd say the whole first half it did. Mm. When it was 10-7 at halftime.
There was never a moment.
I'd say that I think we talked about this on the show, and
we did.
Those that learned about it, you get to hear about it again. we talked about this on the show. I want to say that when it was a 7 or 3 point game. I think it was a 3 point game, and you guys were punting from your own end zone, and we muffed a punt at the 50 that then mm-hmm. gave you the ball at the 30 because it dribbled for 20 yards. That I thought the game was close then. It was a 3 point game, and we muffed a punt at the 50, right?
The scoreboard being close and the game feeling close are different things.
A team having a 3 point deficit and having the ball at midfield is not like a game that's anybody's at that point.
That
like
game
one
never,
busted cover.
That game was never anybody's game. You know what it's like to sit in a stadium and feel that,
but then don't answer the question.
But TJ, that was not anybody's game at that point. There was not a moment in that game that I thought that Florida wasn't going to win it. And you know what it feels like to sit in a stadium and feel that anxiety.
We had different feelings. Had different feelings then. Okay. I mean, I know you're a homer, and again, because the SEC is on Florida's chest, I know that you feel like that.
Of the King Homer himself, wishing Jameis Winston happy birthday on our podcast. Come on, you are the King Homer.
For you to say that in a 3 point game, when your own team is punting from the end zone, you did not see a path to victory for the other team.
I didn't say there was a path to victory. I said it never felt close.
Well, let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? It was. Okay. It was a 3 point game then, and it finished at a 3 point game.
Okay.
Like it didn't, it may not have felt close to you. I don't know what you drank that morning or what you were having, but it was close. It was a 3 point game. Okay. I know that Florida fans got up and down all over the place about, remember this? This is my favorite part. This is the best part of this. Do you remember how Florida fans pounded their chests last year after losing to Alabama by 6 and saying, we played Alabama closer than anyone and it was a one score game? Do you remember how that ended up being a one score game?
I do. Remember I watched the end of this game with you.
They scored a touchdown. It was never within 2 scores. They scored a touchdown in garbage time with less than 2 minutes to go to make it a one score game, and then never had a realistic chance to win, and then pounded their chest, saying we played Alabama closer than anyone. So
is that an unfair statement?
Here's the question. Did you ever feel like that game was close?
I felt like that game was close. Yeah.
When did you feel like it was close? Cause you never had the ball with the chance to score and win. Never had the ball with the chance to score and win.
Okay.
So when did you feel like it was close? When you were down 14? Or when
third
you cut
quarter.
It to...
You felt like it too. You were sitting next to me.
In the third quarter? You guys were down 14 in the third quarter.
And driving.
Alabama SEC championship game. Let's see. The score in the third quarter was 35-24. You guys never had the ball. You guys kept taking it from 2 score to 1 score, 2 score to 1 score, mm-hmm. 2 score
that
to 1 score.
That is true.
So like you never had the ball with a chance to take the lead.
Up.
Correct. Until the last play of the game, the Hail Mary that ended up being a sack. 80 yards from the end zone. So, but you felt close in that one. Why? Because your team was playing in that one.
Okay.
But it's the same thing, no? Are those similar?
TJ, we sat through both of those games together. If you are going to be intellectually dishonest and tell me that they didn't feel differently, I don't know what to tell you. We were together for the SEC championship game, and we were both in the same stadium for the Florida game.
I'm not even agreeing with you on that we were together.
You were.
Separated by 80,000 people.
We were in the same stadium was the statement. Cheer in the press box, right?
We weren't together at all. There were a lot of people between us. We're closer now in number of people than we were.
There are less people between us now than there were.
So, if you felt like that game was close, but then the 3-point game in Gainesville wasn't close, that's
okay.
I wonder what the common link there is.
Okay. It's that Florida
Maybe it's
State's
the
garbage.
Team that you cheer for. Okay. All right, we'll be back next week so you guys can hear me and Allie argue more. Hopefully, I'd like to be wrong about my prediction just so that it means Allie's wrong too. So go Dogs, and let's get this championship. And go happy birthday.